Welcome, everybody, to Capes and Scowls West.
West.
This is our June 6th review issue. I can't remember the date.
June 7th!
Oh, wow. Time flies when you're recording podcasts.
Where am I?
Anyway, this is our Heroes in Crisis series review, now that it's over. We have art written by Tom King with art by Clay Mann. So I guess we should just start out with first impressions of what we all thought of this issue and the series as a whole, and then we can probably get into some more deep cut discussions as we go. Alex, how about you take it from here?
The ninth issue, I mean, it wasn't really a big deal. It just felt like how they were closing it out because you already knew what was going on by the eighth issue. But this, I feel like this line started out really good. It's super confusing, but really good. And then by the end of it, you're like, this whole thing was unnecessary. Like, you didn't need to do this, DC. It was not, not useful, but.
I ended up with what's the point?
Kind of
thought process. And why does DC seem to hate the Titans? Like, that to me is like a really weird thing, because they you know, they've screwed up Dick Grayson and he's now Rick Grayson and he got shot in the head, and then Wally killed like half of his own team.
We don't talk about it.
What was your overall thoughts then, now that we've reached the end?
So, I know that everybody sees it as useless. I'm just curious if it does have a role to play in setting up what Doomsday Clock is, and that's my biggest question, because I don't remember seeing Wally in any of this. Yeah, I think you see one Flash, but it's not Wally. So, okay. It makes me wonder if this is what starts pitting everyone against each other for all the stuff, and I think they should have ended at 8 instead of ending at 9, because it was just a... It was pointless.
I think they should have ended with the original 7 that they had. I don't know why this was extended to 2 extra issues.
Was it original 7?
Yeah, this was a 7 issue miniseries that extended.
Stop giving
to
9. Tom King more stuff. He does great with just what he's got.
Yeah.
The one thing I did like about this issue though was the whole Robin thing.
Yes.
Because when they were all doing their interviews, they were like, "Oh, well, Dick's the, like, awesome one, and Todd's the rebellious one. What am I?" And they all said, like, the same exact thing. Like, they all feel like they don't have a place as Robin.
Yeah.
Although Orphan's camera confessional did summarize it all pretty well. Where she just blankly stares at the camera.
Yeah, right?
Classic.
Well, classic Orphan actually was mute, so... Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's even better.
Yeah.
But...
Wasn't there one, too, that I can't remember her name?
Stephanie Brown. Poor spoiler. She was a Robin at some point in time, but
Why do I matter?
The forgotten one is not what she calls herself. Yeah. Oh, that's so sad.
I don't know. I'm curious to see if this does play, because part of me is... Because I think they were saying that they were trying to release stuff at the time then with Doomsday Clock. I'm like, okay, so does it matter? Are you telling me that it is? Are you just saying this is what sets up this universe, or are you just lying to me?
Well, Patrick, you haven't really said your thoughts.
I feel like they're... So I really like this issue, actually. I thought the last issue was a bit of a slump, and then I thought this was actually kind of bringing it back up. I will admit that it's not the last half, perhaps, or third of this series was not as good as the first half to two-thirds of it, I will say. But I think this issue is absolutely necessary, specifically for the themes that Tom King is trying to bring together of... And I was glad that he ended it more hopeful rather than completely depressing, where the book starts. And the whole idea that everybody has troubles. Everybody at some point will do something that they feel like they made a mistake. If you're a super, no matter how, you know, lofty of a superhero you are, then there's still at some point you're going to go through something. But that's okay, because we're all here. We have each other's back. Just don't close yourself off. That's what Wally did. That's why he initially had his meltdown, was because he felt like he was forced to confront his demons by himself. And it wasn't until he finally reaches out for help, that he realizes that he's not alone in this universe and everybody needs everybody else.
Ivy's creepy.
So. Ivy's creepy.
Ivy's creepy.
Huh?
Ivy's just creepy.
Oh, Ivy, sorry. Yeah. Yeah, that was a little weird and kind of unnecessary, but...
Yeah, I don't understand why they brought her back. That was kind of the thing where I was like, I mean, thanks for a happy ending, but...
To give Harley a pairing sort of thing, there's that scene and Booster and Beetle are together, and, you know...
Ivy's pretty important to her.
Yeah,
Ivy's... So is Catwoman.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know that they have a relationship. It's just I don't know. Like I said, I'm pretty sure that they're gonna hard reset the universe. So eventually, I guarantee Ivy would be brought back one way or the other. I just don't understand. She's all, like I said, she's just fucking creepy looking. I don't enjoy the likeness to how her body looks like muscle, and I'm like, stop thinking about it.
I thought that was pretty cool, actually.
Stop thinking about it.
I hopeful ending for me, I in the back of my head went, why is no one talking about the fact that all of these other characters are still dead? Like, they're ending this on this hopeful idea, but all of these characters were still killed by the Speed Force within Wally. So it's like, we're not going through the mourning part of this, and it felt really... like a disservice to all of those characters who died. It's like, it's okay, because Wally's back. So Wally's actually alive, but he has to be in prison now because he made a dumb decision and has to kill his own clone and go back in or into the future to make a clone of himself. It was completely convoluted. Like, I don't understand what the hell the point was of that. It's like Booster Gold comes up with this ridiculous plan to go in. We go into the future and we clone you. Is it a live clone?
Yeah, I have no idea how that worked. I did not get that explanation.
And if it is a live clone, do they just kill it? Like, to bring the body in? Like, how... That is severely fucked up if that's really what happens.
Okay, there's
we're gonna
a lot
play of... the fun game where clones... Is clones killing yourself?
Okay, well, it does get a little convoluted when you include both time travel and cloning. So that for sure is a little... unnecessary, and that's kind of what I didn't like about this, is when it gets into the more like superhero trope kind of stuff, because it's such a personal story,
right?
But like I think to get to your point about like why isn't anybody addressing this, I think they are. I think this is like the beginning. We're seeing Wally's beginning of the grieving process. Like right now they're like, you know, don't really say anything because he's, like, still really fucked up over this. I mean, he's so messed up over what he did, like, that he has to go through this whole ridiculous, process or whatever.
I it doesn't feel like it's Wally. Like, I feel like they broke Wally down to break him down. Like, that doesn't... I get where the story's genesis comes from. The idea of Wally... Nobody really asked Wally if he wanted to be brought back. You know, like, that was never the question on anyone's mind.
Well, the other half of it is he came back and lost everything. So,
well, right, and no by coming back, he lost everything because he had the full memory. So his motivations for being in a dark place make sense, and the character is broken down. But rather than going through that story and trying to lift him up, what we've done is broken him down further. And now you've assassinated Wally West. He's literally now a background character in prison.
See, I would absolutely disagree with that, because yes, you have broken him down, but not in a bad way. And maybe it might be that I have no familiarity with this character, so to me he is what he is in this story and nothing else.
Right.
And so, like, I feel like, yes, he is broken down, but we see, like, his vulnerability. How often do you get to see true vulnerability from superheroes?
But I think we saw his vulnerability We saw his vulnerability before they revealed that he was the one who killed everybody. We were able to see in earlier issues that he was vulnerable, he was upset, and... we were asking the questions, and I think it was more poignant when he was dead, is the idea that this guy had been through all of that and got no resolution, instead died. You know, like, that, although I don't like that either, but
Well, but I think that's also like pretty poignant too that Tom King's getting at. Like, no, it's not like a neatly wrapped up like, oh, now I'm a better person because I've gone through the grief and grieving and now I'm done and I'm over. Like, and I'm over it. Like, that would defeat the whole purpose of this book if we had, like, a neatly wrapped up emotional arc where instead his whole point is emotions are messy and, like, people are messy and, like, yes, he did a terrible thing, but, like, I don't know.
It feels like what the story was would probably be, for me, easier to digest if it wasn't something that was presented as being important to the greater DC universe.
Mm.
And because it was pointed as being part of the greater DC universe, it becomes a story that says, we need to kill XYZ characters, so we're going to do a story that kills XYZ characters and not address that anymore.
Yeah, I can see that.
So I don't understand. As a standalone, if I were to divorce myself from the idea that this was part of the greater DCU and it was something that was just told as a one-shot story like Mr. Miracle, I'd probably be a lot happier.
Hmm.
I don't know that I would agree with his characterization of Wally West, but that's fine. That's how he sees Wally, mm-hmm. is what it is. But when you put this in as the character who is the genesis for Rebirth, and Rebirth was the genesis of being the idea that legacy was important, and that positivity was important, the things that were out of the New 52. So you've taken this character, this is your focal point, the character who was missing, the character that people complained was missing from the New 52, that the character that represents the legacy in such a big, bold way, and you just double broke him down. You literally took the things that were great about DC Rebirth and literally told the audience that we're killing them.
Yeah, that's I think that's the point though, because like I said, I think this is what starts Doomsday Clock, because that's where Clark has to admit that there's the sanctuary and they're not all superheroes are mentally stable, which is going to freak out the population because they're not all mentally stable. And I think this is the start point of them saying, "Hey yo, this is where Doomsday Clock started." Just so you know, they haven't said that verbatim, but I'm pretty sure that's what this is, because I remember seeing Wally, and I think the whole point of them killing Rebirth is because they're not doing Rebirth anymore. We're doing something new, and I think we're gonna hard reset. So,
see, yeah. maybe that's one of the reasons I enjoyed it more, is because I have no familiarity with Rebirth or anything like that, or DC lore to me is almost completely over my head. So when you're like, they ruined Wally West as a character, I'm just like, he certainly has had personality traits in the past, I assume, that aren't these ones now that I know of.
A lot of what you see with the way that Barry Allen is portrayed now,
yes,
is Wally West.
Yep.
Oh, so like the goofy,
yeah,
like fast Wally's Spider-Man.
Not like the super smart forensic psychiatrist or forensic scientist.
Yeah, he's just like the nephew that like recreated.
Yeah, he recreated the experiment.
He was actually intelligent, like intelligent too.
He's very intelligent.
He recreated the Speed Force stuff.
Yeah, he did. So he could be the successor to Barry.
I don't know. I'm like split.
Well, you know Young Justice Wally West.
Yeah, but that's Young Justice to me is not a part of like.
But the characterization of Wally is representative of the way he was in the comics.
Fair enough, and maybe it's that I just invested myself into this story, like I don't know.
Yeah.
We all know Patrick likes sad things.
This is true. You
but I'm over here talking about how awesome the ending is because of how hopeful it is.
I still don't like hopefulness is something I didn't necessarily pull from this ending. I was just like,
I get to live with myself.
Alex, you had a strong thought just now.
I mean, it kind of is hopeful. It's just also sad because they're like, well, we're gonna kill your clone and send you to jail. But there's still hope for the future. So it's a little contradictory, because it's like, yeah, there's like hope for things to get better. Just want you to know that. But at the same time, you're going to prison now.
I mean, yeah. that does suck. I mean, but he should. He accidentally, even though it was an accident, he still killed, like, a dozen people.
Yeah, manslaughter's a thing. It's a crime.
Yeah. And so, even though that maybe would be manslaughter.
It would have been worse if they had let him
I'm pretty sure it's manslaughter.
Yeah.
It would have felt wrong.
I mean, I think he should have just stayed dead. Like, that I think, was ultimately the whole, like, twist of the 5 minutes or 5 days older version of
Everything
Wally.
Everything about it should just be undone.
It's going to be.
I
just like this. This is a great book of representation of why I think continuity is overstaying its welcome. Like, it's a weird problem that we have that's unique to comic books, where we're looking at 80 years of stories and trying to make them all fit into the story itself.
I mean,
Marvel's doing that. These, I don't know. I get, like I said, I have a feeling this is just them saying, "Hey, this is the start of what started everything." So, yeah. BT dubs.
And I don't know. Booster and Blue Beetle, I guess I just didn't have an investment in either. Like, I would have rather more of the Batgirl Harley Quinn.
That shit was hilarious. Harley, wake up, we're here.
But I hate Batgirl's new design, too.
That was weird. I think that was just a choice. I don't think she's like that in the comics.
Yeah, right, she is. That's her new costume, and it's like,
I don't know. What's with the little baby ears? You can't see them.
And I know that's a complete tangent to what the story is. I just think that's a terrible design choice.
That's fair.
Yeah. They went from the Batgirl of Burnside, which was an almost perfect design, to this, so.
Yeah, and I had to just look it up right now. This is a little bit of a tangent, but I kind of realized as we were talking about it that we actually see Wally go through the five stages of grief in this comic.
Okay.
Denial in the beginning when he's like, nothing's wrong.
Yeah.
And then anger, denial, anger, obviously, when he kills everyone on accident, right. Bargaining, depression, and then now acceptance in this final issue.
I'm also confused which Wally is alive.
I don't know. It doesn't really matter that much.
No, actually, is there two Wallys?
Are two Wallys alive?
I think one just came from the future. I think I got the gist that he was going back to where he came from, but he only came to let Wally know, like, he's from the future. He knows how this ends, and it's going to be okay.
Because there's the future Wally, and then there's
the one that's 5 days older.
Yup. Well, that came out wrong. But yeah, I don't know.
See, and that's a mistake. Like, it should be clear. Yeah, I know timey-wimey, messy stuff that happens, but it's just like it feels like there's a weird ending problem with a lot of DC miniseries. You know, we go back to Nightwing New Order.
No, don't go back. Don't go back.
And it's just like, with the exception of White Knight. Okay, I guess rereading Mr. Miracle, I actually do enjoy that the end is sort of ambiguous and there's like the great interpretations that you can have. This was just like, I got really confused reading it. I'm like, I don't know what happened, and I like the thematic points you're bringing up. That makes a lot of sense as to the importance as a story of Heroes in Crisis, but when you just read it, it's like, I don't get it.
I think it's interesting that you bring up Nightwing New Order, because, like, this to me, so New Order failed both in story and theme.
Right.
As a story, like, especially with the last issue or two. This, I believe, failed only in story, and it absolutely succeeded in theme.
Yes,
so
I agree.
That's kind of where I would leave it. And so I was even trying to read this one, like get all the time travel-y, clone-y, like, once they start doing all the, like, explanation-y stuff, I'm just like, blah, 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 blah. Give
it's
me
basically
more.
What happened.
I want more metaphors and analogies, please.
Stop with this bullshit.
Yeah. So I think I kind of divorced myself a little from the story, just to kind of get a Tom King's kinginess. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's for me is the biggest negative of the book is, now that it's over, my prevailing thought is, I don't know. Like, I can't call it a meh. It's a spectacularly written book, and the art was consistently good no matter who they put on the art team for the book throughout its run. Mitch Garrett's few issues stand out to me. I love Clayman. I like seeing Clayman do all of this work, and I'm excited about the Batman Catwoman miniseries that they're going to be doing together.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyways, continue. Sorry.
So.
Well. Yeah.
Final thoughts, Alex.
Not really.
No, you're like, I said what I said. Eh?
Yeah. I do think that we've been talking about the story, but we haven't really mentioned the artwork though enough. If there's anything that like makes this book worth reading though, even if you don't like the story. Yeah. Yeah. Oh man, his man's wide shots of like, especially like stormy sort of Nebraska fields,
which
is breathtaking.
Oh, well, it's funny, you went wide and I'm going super close up. Is I think all of his the emotion on characters' faces and all of like the close ups were just incredibly.
The interview is really fun to read.
The confessionals, like, I honestly would love to read a cut of this book where you cut out all of the main story and literally just give me like a yearbook pamphlet of all of the confessionals in order. Like just seeing all of them as one thing would just be so crazy to see.
And then I just get really, really sad.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't know if I could bend the Trinity's confessionals.
Oh, yeah. I was like, I'm going to go lay on the floor for a while.
Somebody should recut all of the Robin panels just to put them all next to each other.
That
would be really cool.
Was anybody else especially saddened by Detective Chimps? Where he says, like, do you know how many poop-throwing jokes they've made?
Oh, yeah. Because
I know the exact number.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, ooh. Like, yeah, that's...
I'd honestly never seen this character before.
Detective Chimp?
I've seen it, like, three times in other things. In passing, maybe.
Justice League Dark.
Yep.
Yeah. He was in... Gosh, what did I just... He was in the Batman...
He was in the... Yeah, he was, because it was, like, the greatest detective or
the
something.
The Detective Comics
1000. Oh, yeah, he was. That's right. He was in the first story.
Mm-hmm. So...
Oh.
He was chilling in his bar.
Yep, exactly.
So,
but yeah, I was really sad by that. Kind of like laughed at first. I was like, poop throwing. Oh, wait, I'm part of the problem.
Yeah. Great, I made Detective Chimps and way to go.
Yeah, yeah, Tom King can take an explicitly comic relief character and make it
hurtful. I don't know. I have a feeling that this might actually, I think that more will... Some other comics may lighten this, if that makes sense.
I guess.
So,
I mean, this is a stark contrast. We're talking about this potentially leading into Doomsday Clock. I don't think we need to lead it into Doomsday Clock. Like, that's the thing, is as I read Doomsday Clock, it reads on its own. So, do I need to know how we got to the continuity at the beginning of Doomsday Clock? Not really. Especially after the last issue, it's like, I'm there. I get it. I don't know. It's a beautiful book. It is extremely well written. I do not want to say, like, I come across as being not a Tom King fan, and that can be farther from the truth. I actually really like Tom King. I just, shorter runs and things that don't need to tie to continuity. I think he's at his best when he's not tied to anything, and it's just a story that he needs to tell.
Yeah. I agree. I think that brings up a point. I think if they didn't sort of force a tie-in to Doomsday Clock in the greater DC universe, then that might have like given a little bit more freedom.
Well,
to
the other thing is too, they keep extending stuff, and I'm like, stop it.
Well, yeah, and it is a thing. Like as I read this and I see Clayman's artwork, if he was unfiltered and was able to do like his favorite versions of each character, or maybe his own design of them too. Like, this would be really special. Like, if he was able to do his version of Batgirl, or maybe, like, completely revamp Booster Gold's look, and just do his iconography.
He does not have any costume changes, does he?
No, he does not. So, I don't know. Like, there's... I feel like I'm being a bad fan here. Because it is a well-written book.
I would disagree on the bad fan thing. I think the problem is I honestly think that... With Tom King, when he has a plan and then they consistently change it on him, and they're like, "Well, we want to extend it," and he's like, "But
I actually heard, too, that the extension wasn't really a true extension, that there was two one-shots that were supposed to be coinciding with this book, and they just filtered them into the book itself. Hmm. So
interesting.
Yeah.
I'm kind of interested to see, like, what those one-shots would be now.
I think it's issue... I want to say it's issue 7, at least, which is the one where that deals with the caveman character. It's very, like, out of the story. So...
But I... Oh, man. That's such a great camera. Probably the best camera confessional, honestly.
Yeah. That was one of the best issues, actually. This one. Yeah. It was very, like, very psychological and theme-driven, so...
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. I still can't get over the Superman speech issue, though. I know a lot of people had issues with it, but I still think about it every now and then. Just that picture of him in front of the podium, like, choking back, like, choking.
Kind of so many people have issues with that. That's, like, a normal... That's like a normal...
Was that in Heroes, or was that in Doomsday Clock?
That was in Heroes. What he said.
Wait, it was in Heroes?
Yeah.
See, that's actually a good sign for the two of them linking together, because I'm having a little bit of distinguishing problems with certain elements of the story. Mm. So,
I don't know why people would have a problem with that speech. That's like that's why they have him speak, because so Superman has the most human emotion. So fight me.
shouldn't be a fight.
No, I completely agree with you in that regard. So, but yeah, oof.
Cool.
So yeah.
On that sad, everybody's sad note. No more sad.
No more sad.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's talk about Doomsday Clock.
Yeah. All right.
Because cool. That gets happier.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Doomsday Clock, stick around because we will be reviewing that in our upcoming reviews episode, which you will be listening to in 30 seconds after this ends, and you go and listen to that.
Time travel.
The wonders of the medium. Anyway.
All right.
Well, let's say bye then, I guess.
Bye.
Bye.